listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
You are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Welcome to my couch. Take your shoes off, put your feet up, kick your head back, and relax. Now, if you're driving and you're listening, don't do that. If you're in an office environment and you can't do that, then just pretend. Just go into the theater of your mind and pretend like you're laying on Dr. Michelle's couch. Well, good day. Good day, wherever you're out there listening in your particular time zone. Today we're going to talk about all sorts of issues. This is a free-for-all Friday, and I have so many listener questions, people who have emailed me, who I'm going to be answering a lot of their questions. Hopefully I can help. I want to remind you, we do not have a therapeutic relationship per se. This program is for advice, and it's also for entertainment, but good information too. So hopefully I can help you with the real deal here. If you'd like to call in, if you have any kind of problems or issues or questions, psychologically related or anything at all, come on, it's Free for All Friday. Give me a call, 323-203-0815. That area code here in beautiful Los Angeles is 323-203-0815. And give me a call. Also, relationship questions. That's what I specialize in. Love to talk about relationships and helping people out and how to manage certain behavioral patterns, as we say, that are really bad, that get you into trouble in your relationships. By the way, if you'd like to find me on my website, you may do so. I am Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. That way you'll be able to check out who I am, what I'm all about, my therapeutic beliefs. Somewhat. What I do? How I feel? Maybe not. Anyway, if you'd like to email me a question, you can link on to my email address as well on my website. But in case you just want to go right there and say, what are you talking about? You can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. Today we're going to be answering, we? What am I talking in the third person here? What's up with that? Today, I'm so royal. Today we are going to be talking about anger. Wow, I have a lot of couples who I see, and they have anger issues, you think? They argue a lot, and I have to kind of detox them from their drama, as I say. So I'm working on that. And so what I'm going to be doing is answering some of the questions that you, listeners, wrote me about managing your anger, information about it. What's it about? What's it mean? How can I chill out? Why am I angry? Things like that. So I'll help you with that. Couple of listeners have been writing me about their fights, hopefully not physical. I didn't get all the information that they are not physical. I think they're just verbal fights. That's what I get. If they're physical, that's a whole other thing. Also, I'm going to be answering what I call five online quick questions. Just little quick questions that people have asked me. And I'll answer those. I'm going to be giving you information about 10 great qualities to look for in a partner. I received an email from a listener who is checking out Gina Hendricks' new show. She's back on the air, folks, here at LA Talk Radio. And she has Love Life Makeovers Wednesday. Little plug-o for your girlfriend. I was the guest on her show this Wednesday of this week, at 11 a.m., and we were talking about great qualities to look for in a partner. Now, this is all subjective, of course. Everyone has their own ideas about what's a really good quality. But we were talking, you know, about many of those qualities, and some of the listeners wanted to get a repeat or get information. By the way, if you want to listen to any downloads of any of our shows, if you didn't quite catch it live, you can always go to the latalkradio.com website right here. Check out the host, and then just download the show. It's right there. And then you can get information you need if you miss something. And I also invite you to call, as I always say, at 323-203-0815. Let's get to the first one right here. Let's deal with the anger issue. So many people have angry stuff going on. I mean, we're all angry. It's difficult. It's frustrating in these days and times. You know? I mean, a lot of people insist they have the right to be angry. It's okay to be angry and feel. But the question I want you to ask yourself is it useful most of the time? We all have it. We all got to have a, you know, some kind of a vent time. We all cuss things out, hopefully in the privacy of our own car or room or something, whatever. It's not good to do that to other people, but yeah, we do that too. Yeah, we all have the right. Remember back, was it like the 80s, 70s, 80s? Way before my time. They had these therapeutic techniques of anger management where they beat these batons on pillows, or you beat pillows and you screamed and you yelled and you got it out. And that's all good and well. And they had these group sessions. I used to work in a clinic where we had an anger management group, and I co-led a group with a guy who's a specialist. And back then, they used to, you know, take the it was like one of those padded, I'm blanking on what they're called. Good heavens, I should know. Those padded bats, and then they would bang the pillows. And then we would do role play, and they would be talking to the person who they're angry at. I would be angry mommy or daddy or husband or whoever. I would be talking back to them, and they'd be saying things really angrily to me that they wanted to get out that they never got to get out, and beating the pillow. You stupid, you asshole, you made me feel horrible. And they'd bang the, well, okay, that's all good, like I said. But they found out in studies, remember those famous studies? Did you ever hear about those? They put kids in a room, you know, with those Bobo dolls, where you punch them, those old toys where you punch them and they fall back up and you punch them. They were just checking to see if it would lessen the kids' anger, if it would help them manage their anger. And what they found was it got worse because they had permission to use their anger. So it was patterned in their brain that it was okay to start getting angry when you needed to. So they got angrier by acting out. And now we know that we are addicted to the drama. We produce certain chemicals when we get really angry, and we like it. We don't like it. Our brains like it. So we've got to keep, you know, producing those neurohormones to feel good. Yes, it's like an addiction. Of course it is. That's why I call it being addicted to the drama. Anyway, so get to the question, Michelle. I do diverse. I do. I digress, rather. And I diverse as well. Dear Dr. Michelle, my fiancé and I have been having a lot of arguments lately about some really stupid things. Like who should have done certain chores? Sound familiar? Pay bills or just getting on each other's nerves. The problem is that my anger gets out of control. I'm a 42-year-old professional woman who has an intensively stressful job where a lot of people depend on me. I know I cause a lot of our arguments because sometimes I really need to vent and I can't do it at work. Can you give me some tips about how to control my anger or things that I can think about to help me? Thanks, Jen. You thought this was going to be a guy. I assume it's a girl, says Jen, like Jenny, Jennifer, whatever. Yeah, we women have so many stressors these days. It's not just the guys who are freaking out with anger, don't you know? Before I tell you some of the things you should know about your anger, I want you to know you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're officially on the couch with me. If you want to call about anything, issues, that would be great. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Now, 10 things you should know about your anger. Check it. Like I said, you do have the right to be angry. We all do. It's normal. We got to vent sometimes. but is it useful? And freaking out beyond control is really bad for your physiological body. Okay. When you rid yourself of irritability, you will feel better. No, I'm not talking about when you blow it out at somebody and you go, you have that rush. I'm talking about controlling, defocusing your anger. You'll feel better. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. You'll feel more productive. You'll experience liberation. You know why you'll feel a little better? If you can control that anger and sublimate it into something else, or think things through to change your thinking so you're not so PO'd. Liberation means you don't feel guilty. You know that guilt you go through when you freak out at people, you piss them off, and you're angry, or you're angry? Yeah, you don't feel guilty anymore after that. So if you can manage it, you don't have to beat yourself up. You also feel a little more enlightened, like, hey, I do have control. See, if we feel like we have control over certain things in our lives, which we don't, except our emotions and thoughts and behaviors. Yes, I know about manifestation and all that, law of attraction and manifesting and creating one. Of course we have control, but it all comes from the mind. So we control our thoughts and our behaviors. Okay, so here we go. Let me just tell you this, Jen. The world of events in your environment, your whole world, they don't make you angry. They don't make you angry. I'm talking about all the, you know, stress and at work and how crazy it is. You create your anger by thinking hot thoughts, angry thoughts, and then you attach meanings to the events that result in your anger. All right? That's what happens. Anger usually does not help. Finding active and creative solutions will make you feel better. Now, if you keep on listening, Jen, I want you to hold on. Don't you go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere, listeners, because we have a call here, and I'm going to try to get it on the air. Here we go. Hey, good morning. You're on LA Talk Radio with Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this? I guess he's not there. Let's try it again. She? He? Let's try it again. All right, let's do it.
Hello.
You're on the air with Dr. Michelle live. This is LA Talk Radio. And who is this?
Hi, doctor. This is Shane.
Hey, Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I love your show.
Thank
you. I love
your
show. I listen to it every Friday.
I'm glad you're listening. And it's really cool to have you with
me.
Yeah. Where are you calling from out there?
I'm in Santa Monica.
Cool.
So you're
local.
I'm actually calling from my cell phone.
Very cool.
Because I'm at work and I wanted to ask you a couple questions.
Okay. Cool. Shoot.
How do you love yourself? I mean, I've been reading a bunch of books and I've been kind of depressed lately. I'm just down on myself.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend says, you know, honey, you just don't love yourself enough.
Aww.
And so I'm trying to deal with that.
Okay.
So how should I approach loving myself?
Well, you tell.
Okay.
What do you think? Why do you think your girlfriend is telling you should love yourself?
Well, because I get down.
Mm-hmm.
I get down on myself. I don't think I'm good enough.
Oh, okay.
People around me.
Yeah.
My self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my self-worth is not as high as it should be.
Yeah.
But it's just real tough on me sometimes.
Yeah. So who made you feel like, you know, you weren't good enough in your life? Who do you think made you feel like that?
I maybe my dad, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was there a lot of criticism going on?
Well, it's just that I've been, you know, I work, I'm a computer programmer, and I have a mid-level job, and, I have bosses that I deal with, and I've got a bunch of things I got to do, but I just have a tendency to get down on myself really hard.
Well, I'm really hard. Really hard. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it. You know, sometimes if we don't love ourselves, it's easier to start out with baby steps. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So baby steps means really learn how to really, really like yourself. Because sometimes if we make a giant leap into a brand new or try to have a brand new feeling, you know, people who do those positive affirmations, have you heard of those? Those, I love myself.
Yeah, I've heard about
those. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, my life is perfect. I am wealthy. Those are all really good and wonderful, but you have to believe them. I mean, speaking the word is powerful, but you have to really feel that and believe it. So if you're not close to loving yourself, you have to first learn how to really like yourself and appreciate yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yes,
it's,
I do.
It's a little bit easier to take the small baby steps. So first of all, let me tell you this. Just stop all criticism. Stop it. Stop it. And I mean that because criticizing yourself never changes a thing. Refuse to criticize yourself. I mean, how many times a day do you think, you know, when you have issues that come up at work at your computer-based company that you work at or somebody's yelling, how many times during the day, just give me an estimate, do you think that you think, oh, I'm stupid or I shouldn't have done that or whatever? How many times?
Too many.
Too many. Good answer.
Too many to count.
All right. So what I want you to do, Shane, is accept yourself exactly as you are. Everybody screws up. We all screw up. Unless you're doing something on purpose to really piss somebody off. So you're not that kind of a guy.
No.
Okay.
No.
So when you criticize yourself, you know, it makes it worse. It feeds on you. When you approve of yourself, your changes are positive within yourself. If you are negative, you're going to continue to keep the negative. So when things come up and you go, oh, so stupid, I should have done that, just go, you know what? Next time I'll really try not to do it. Next time I'll try it. Stop beating yourself up. Stop.
Right.
All right? Now, I don't know if you have, do you have a lot of worrisome thoughts, like, oh, the worst case scenario kind of thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What, you know, you got to stop terror. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I'm famous at that.
Oh, okay.
I always look at the dark side.
Okay. It's really a bad way to live. It's dreadful. Okay? You've got to stop terrorizing yourself with your thoughts about the what ifs and the negative outcomes that could happen and all that. Because I'm a believer in manifestation, dude, and you can create it. And maybe psychoanalytically, you can subconsciously create it. You're going to make failure for yourself. You're going to make negatives come up. So find a mental image that gives you pleasure and switch some of those nasty, icky thoughts about, oh, God, what if this happens? What if I get fired? What if my girlfriend leaves me? Whatever you have. Switch your scary thought to a pleasure. What would be a pleasure thought that you might have?
Just feeling good about myself.
Okay. Now give me more. How are you going to feel good? Just a pleasurable thought. Give me a place you love to be and how you feel when you're in that place.
The beach.
All right, the beach. All right.
I love the beach.
All right.
Yeah.
So go to your favorite beach, wherever that may be, and how do you feel when you're laying on the beach and it's great weather and you're kicking back? Can you do that?
Of course.
Okay. So go to that place. If you start to think negative thoughts, go to, you know what, why am I creating this? And I'm going to just relax and go to that beach where I love to be. And I'm going to just relax and, in my head, be at the beach. Okay?
Okay. Do you want me to do it now?
No. Nope. Sure, go for it. I'll tell you what, as soon as we hang up, I like you, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to have you, if you're in an office situation or whatever, not if you're driving, but you said you're on your cell phone, but if you can pull over or whatever and just go to the good place, that beautiful beach, okay? Because every time you terrorize yourself with negatives, you're beating yourself up too. Be gentle and kind. Be gentle with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be patient with yourself because you're learning new ways of thinking now. So treat yourself. Do you love your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
Treat yourself the way that you would treat her. Be gentle on her. Yeah? Be gentle on yourself. When she does something to goof up or she says something and you're sweet and you go, oh, honey, that's okay. Do that to yourself first.
Yeah.
You see?
That's a good idea.
Because you will, self-hatred, beating yourself up, not being kind and patient, Change your thoughts. Stop feeding yourself with the negativity. Now, here's the other thing. Praise yourself. I love myself. Say, you know what? When you do something good and you feel good about, say, damn, that was good. It's not narcissistic. Do it. A lot of people think if they praise themselves that they're being narcissistic, right?
Right.
Yeah. So praise yourself. Tell yourself how well you're doing with everything. God, that was good. I did really well today at work. Or that was such a cool meeting with that person. Or I had such a good time with my woman. Or whatever. Praise yourself. Wow, I got this accomplished. I washed my car.
Yeah.
Whatever. Praise yourself. Support yourself. Now, you have to support yourself by reaching out to friends. You know,
right.
If you have family members who are supportive, and of course your girlfriend, get support. Get support. You know, just say, wow, I'm feeling kind of weird about this, or I'm feeling kind of bad about myself because I screwed up today. The people who love you will go, yeah, don't sweat it. Right? It's
yep.
Constant reinforcement of the good stuff. All right?
That's what I'll do. That's great advice.
Oh, well, thank
that's
you. Now, it's just kind of helping you. It's more practical ways to help you love and appreciate who you are. You know, you don't have to sit and look at. I mean, affirmations are great. I really love myself because you can always do that. You can write something, you know, this evening or whatever. If you have some downtime this weekend or whatever, you write something that says, I really like myself a lot because, and list all the really good things that you like about yourself. And think about the things you do. And then go further and say, I actually love myself because I'm patient. Whatever good qualities what good qualities do you think you have?
I'm a gentleman.
Good.
I'm a good friend.
Yep.
I take good care of my girlfriend.
That's
and,
great.
I'm always available to my friends.
That's wonderful.
I show up.
There you go. You're a good man. Yes. So begin right now. Right now,
okay.
after we get off the air, you know what I'm saying? I want you to start realizing that you are lovable. And the only way you can do that, and, you know, nobody else can tell you except you. I mean, your girlfriend seems to really cherish you a lot. And do you guys have a really good relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, I need to work on this, though.
Okay.
I really need to work on this because I don't want anything to happen with her.
Well, that's right. See, and if you are, you told me that she suggested that you try to love yourself more often because you seem kind of down and depressed and down on yourself. And it is. It's kind of, you know, to relationships sometimes it gets really heavy when you're depressed all the time or you're down on yourself. It's kind of a burden to have to share. And you know, when it's kind of self-involved. And I'm not saying that you're narcissistic. I'm just saying that it's really difficult to deal with depression. But the way we can break out of it, excuse me, is starting to talk to ourselves about all the good things we are. Support yourself. Be more kind. Don't criticize. Don't self-hate. Be gentle. You know, and take care of your body, too. You know what I'm saying? Try to exercise. Do you do good things for your body?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Start exercising a little bit more. Don't kill yourself, but just start slowly, slowly, slowly. Build up. Because that'll make you less depressed. It's chemicals, too.
That's a great idea, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And eat well. Take vitamins. Learn about nutrition. Learn what you can. It's basically cherishing the temple that you live in. If you love your temple, too, if you look into the mirror and you go, yeah, I like who I see. I like what I am. You don't have to look like Brad Pitt. But, you know, you can look in the mirror and say, I like what I see. I'm really taking good care of myself. That, again, is you're controlling. You're not beating yourself up. You're doing well. And you're happy, more happy with yourself because you're taking control. You see?
That's a great idea.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
So did I help?
Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you, Shane, you have a wonderful day. Now try the things I've suggested, and you know, write me back. Write me back and let me know. You can find me at Doc Michelle, docmichelle@aol.com, and let me know how you're doing.
Great. I will.
All right.
Thank
you sound
you,
like
Doc.
A great guy. You got it. Tell your girlfriend.
Thank you,
I think Dr. you're.
Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. Nice guy. What a cool guy. Okay, there you go. See, that's the thing. That's the thing, is taking care of yourself. He actually reached out. He listens to LA Talk Radio, listens to my program, obviously, and he reached out so he could get himself some help and manage, you know, his depression, learn how to like himself a lot better, maybe love himself. Wow, what a concept. So there you go. By the way, you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and you are still on the couch with me. I'm your friendly psychologist, and if you would like to call me, and if you have a question or a problem or anything you want to talk about, I'd love to talk with you, just like Shane just did. The number here is area code 323-203-0815. We're here in Los Angeles, California. 323-203-0815, but we are international. All right? We're streaming live, and, of course, you can find any download you want and listen to this show later. Okay, we were talking earlier about anger. Mm-hmm. I'm answering questions that you listeners put out there. And by the way, you can find me at my website at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And I'm answering some of the questions that listeners have written me over the last week, as a matter of fact. I was just talking to Jen via her email about her anger. And just to refresh before we spoke with the gentleman on the air, she said she's a 42-year-old professional lady who's been in an intensely stressful job. A lot of people depend on her performance. I know it caused a lot of our arguments because sometimes I really need to vent and I can't do it at work. So she says that she's causing problems with her, I guess, fiancé here. So what I'm trying to do is tell her how to manage the anger. Manage the anger, Jen. As I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, you do have the right to be angry. You do. But after a while, and getting overly angry, it's really not good to your body. It's terrible. It can kill you. It certainly can. And when you do learn how to control your anger, you feel more energy, joy, peace, productivity. And all these things really happen. And you will feel liberated. And as I mentioned, you will feel more liberated because you are taking control. You see, when we have control, we feel free. I know it sounds, yeah, I know it's contradictory, but you get it? All right. So I shared with Jen that the events of this world don't make you angry. You are creating anger by thinking these really angry hot thoughts, as we call them. And you attach meanings to the events that result in your anger. I know it's a hard concept. Especially, it's hard to think about when we just turn on if we have that kind of anger. It doesn't help. So, the generating thoughts, because you attach meanings to those events, have distortions. You're distorting it, you see? If you're coming from a place of low self-esteem, or you're feeling hurt, or you're used to being criticized, or you're used to feeling bad about yourself, you already have, you know, walls built up, and you're already to have defense mechanisms. So if someone looks at you the wrong way, or if your fiance says something in the wrong tone of voice, you're ready because you have all this anger and stress building. But see, you're projecting the stuff that went on during the day at your job where you say everyone depends on you. And, of course, we all screw up. Don't worry. But what you do is you're projecting it onto him. And that's not okay. You're putting it onto him. Okay, you're saying, oh, he's pissed off at me. No, he's probably not. He's probably tired of you being angry all the time. But you're just angry and you're interpreting it wrong because of where you're coming from. So, ultimately, your anger is caused by your belief that someone is acting unfairly. Or some event is just not just. It's unjust. That's not fair. That's not fair. So, look, what you have to do with your man, sharing the other person's perspectives. If you share his perspectives regarding fairness and justice, it can help you both to cooperate and experience less frustration. See, if your man's really getting tired of you getting angry a lot, people don't like to be punished, and you're going to distance yourself. He's going to move away from you. He's going to shut off. He's going to start avoiding you, you see, if you continue this anger stuff. And you're obviously in need of help, or he said something to you because you're writing me, you know? So the short-term gains of anger and punishment, you know, that blah, 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 blah. You blast it out there. You blow him away. Okay. I feel better. Those short-term gains that you feel good with, they're lost when compared to the long-term losses of friendship, trust, and love. They're lost. They're lost. And if you don't clean it up, you're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep pushing people away from you. Okay? And I want you to know also, Jen, that your anger often serves to protect a self-esteem that feels threatened. You see? When you're blaming other people sometimes for your feelings of worthlessness, or your feelings that I just can't do enough, everybody's on me, get into a job that's less stressful. That's my advice. If you're going to continue to blame that on, that makes me angry, then find something that makes you less angry. Or learn how to deal with it on the spot and rethink, and I say, why are you getting so angry? When things tick you off immediately, when things, right away, someone says something, there's pressure, why should I get angry about this? Let me just follow through and do the best I can do. Let me just do the best I can do. Okay? You're frustrated, of course. You know? But we all have unrealistic expectations. You know, having a stressful job doesn't mean you have to do it all every day. Of course someone wants you to do stuff. Everybody wants you to do stuff, Jen. It sounds like you're under a lot of stress and you're in a management position, but you can't do it all. You have to pace yourself. It's called health. It's called mental health. All right? So rethink. The next time you go to do that knee-jerk reaction of anger, stop. Have a sentence that says, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry? Stop. Why am I so angry? Go into the ladies' room. Get out of the office. Get out of the room where you're angry. Go into another place and do some breathing and say, what am I doing? Why am I so upset? Wait a minute here. Why am I so upset? I'm upset because they yelled at me because I didn't get this paper done. That's okay. I didn't get this report out. You know what? Am I attempting to get the report out? Yeah, I will, because I've got so many other things on my plate. Am I going to explain to them? Yes, I have things on my plate. Yes. And I'm going to do the best I can. Everybody will always want something for you right now when you're in management. So just relax, Jen. Try to change your thoughts. That's all we can do, because you will get the power. All right? I hope I helped. By the way, you're listening to LA Talk Radio, and this is Dr. Michelle. You are still on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist. And if you'd like to call in, you can do so, 323-203-0815. And that's the number. If you have relationship problems, issues, or questions, it's all good. It's a Los Angeles area code, 323-203-0815. And also, if you'd like to find me on my website, you may do so, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. All right, let's keep on moving. We're moving on from anger to quick questions. Here we go. Got some quick questions. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when my lover doesn't worry about safe sex? It means they're an idiot. Okay? Stop having sex with this person until they get tested for STDs, HIV, and insist that they use protection from then on. Okay? They're an idiot. What if my lover refuses to worry about safe sex? Come on. You know, insist that they use the protection. If they refuse, dump them. I'm sorry, I'm getting angry. I need to follow my own advice. Anyway, that's from Ted. Also, who wrote me here at docmichelle@aol.com. This is Marie. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when my fiancé suggests a prenuptial agreement? Well, it means that they want to keep whatever money they personally earned in case of a divorce. Basically, they want to keep their assets, if you pardon the expression. Yeah. So if you really love this person, this shouldn't be important. This should not be an impediment to the relationship. It shouldn't be a problem. I know it's kind of hurtful because, you know, you think the other person's thinking, oh, we are going to get a divorce. I'm kind of preparing already for a divorce. So I'm going to keep all my stuff. Well, it's kind of creepy in a way, but prenups are good. And it also shows them that you married them for love, not their money. Because if you marry that person for the money and you're PO'd and you're not going to sign a prenup, then that's the deal breaker. You're gone. Or they're going to make you gone. A lot of guys have been really burned. I get emails, and I just sighed because I just thought of this one client that I've had. You know, he's doing better now. He's doing a lot better. But he's been really burned by his ex. Taking money all the time. Taking money. Wants more money. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's a really great guy. And he gives her a lot of money. And he feels beat up. So he is in a new relationship. And if he were to get married to this lady, he would have her sign a prenuptial agreement. He's a really hardworking, successful guy. And he's scared. And there are a lot of guys out there like that. You know, they don't want to be taken again. The guy worked really hard. He was broke after he got divorced. The woman took everything. You know, he's been wonderful to his kids. He's been a great dad. He's been there. The woman left him. And then he turned around and made money again, got back up on his feet, became another success story. That's his nature. And he's gun shy. He doesn't want to be had again. No matter how much he loves this new woman and would like to marry her, he's still gun shy. So I suggested get a prenup. That's me. That's what I did. All right, dear Dr. Michelle. By the way, if you want to write me, you can find me here at docmichelle@AOL.com. Or, of course, my website is Dr. Michelle Therapy. What does it mean when my spouse wants a divorce, but they've never expressed any major problems with our relationship? What? They've never expressed any major problems with our relationship, but they want to get a divorce? Well, your spouse either has a problem expressing their emotions or they found somebody new. I would go to get some couple therapy. Try talking to them to figure out which is the case. Okay? If you can talk about your feelings to that person, and I don't know, who is this? Oh, this is Laura. This is from Laura. So it's a lady. So if you can talk more openly and not criticize, do not criticize. Just say, what happened? I'm confused. I'm hurt. Please, let's talk. Okay. Maybe the relationship can be salvaged a little bit. You know, if they're seeing someone else, how can you forgive that person? And hopefully they'll tell you what's going on. But if they're seeing someone else, obviously they weren't really serious about the marriage. I can't imagine having a spouse that wants a divorce but never expressing any problems within the relationship. I mean, what's up with that? That's a really unhealthy person. They're going to be closed about it and pretend like everything's wonderful and then announce one day, I'm getting a divorce. That's crazy. And that speaks to me of, I got somebody else. I'm fooling around. Or they are seriously, deeply troubled and not able to talk about their stuff. Try to sit down and talk with a therapist, with your husband, and find out what's going on. If he doesn't want to go, then all you can do is keep open and just say, I'm just curious. What happened? He sounds like he may continue to want to buffet that and not even talk about it at all. Whatever. Whatever. I'm so sorry that's happening to you, though. It's really confusing. Very frustrating. You talk about anger. Jeez. Hey. All right. Let's move on. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when I'm still sleeping with my wife, even though we're divorced? Ex-wife, I guess you should have said. It means you have great sex. I don't know. It might mean that there's still something there for you two. You know, because we women do bond, and we want to keep that thing going, you see, when we have sex. Or it could mean that you're both afraid of moving on. So if there is something still there, you should really explore your feelings to find the answer. You know? And if it's, you know, you're just afraid of moving on, then don't let great sex get in the way of future happiness. I know you're going, you're crazy, Dr. Michelle. But I mean it. I mean, great, it can get a habit. But after a while, if you want to find a new partner, and you're not loving that person anymore, loving emotionally that person anymore, then it's kind of empty after a while. They're familiar. It's great sex. It's great. It's familiar. you might want to kind of move through that phase if you want to get on with your life. That's just what I think. Just advice here. All right, LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're still on the couch with me. If you want to write me, like these listeners did, about relationship problems, issues, or questions, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com. Here's another question from Savannah. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when my boyfriend wants to see other people? Oh, it means they want to sleep with other people, but they still want to keep you around as a security blanket in case things go wrong. Unless he's saying, I'm done. But if he goes, I just want to still have a relationship, but I really want to sleep with other people. Well, see other people. See translates into sleeping with. Don't put up with this kind of nonsense. Okay? If they're not willing to be just with you, then they don't deserve you. Okay? It's like you're in a relationship, you're committed, you're good, it's all good, and then he announces, I want to see other people. You put yourself through some heartache. Tell him that if he wants to see other people, go for it, but you're not going to be hanging around to watch it because it hurts. That's just my suggestion, Savannah. But you do what you want. I mean, it's kind of practical advice. That's what that means usually, I think. All right, we're moving on to more questions from listeners here with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. You're on LATalkRadio.com, and let's see here. We just lost a call. If you want to call back, do so, 323-203-0815. It's Los Angeles, area code 323-203-0815. Let's see. Oh, hi, Doc Michelle. On Wednesday morning at 11 of this week, I heard you as a guest on Gina Hendricks' show, Love Life Makeovers, right here on LA Talk Radio. Byron? B-Y-R. Byron, I guess. You guys were talking about finding the right partner for a relationship, and Gina asked you what were some of the most important qualities to look for in a partner. I only caught part of that conversation because I was listening to you at work and had to turn down the volume. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Well, you can download the show, by the way. Just press on Gina's show, and you can just push download and listen to it. Or you can listen live, like you told me you were going to do on your email, and I will tell you. Some of the really important qualities to look for in a partner is compatibility. Similar interests. If you share many common interests, of course, it's going to strengthen your relationship. Yeah, that's because the two of you will spend much of the time together doing something you'll both enjoy. You know? You got to have the same interests. All right. A caring soul. It's really important to have someone who's caring. I think is finding a mate who has a good heart. You got to look for somebody who can show his or her love and respect for you. Okay? And this includes somebody that has a similar, you know, like moral character that you do. Because you don't want to disrespect somebody. So a caring soul is really, really important. Somebody who cares. Somebody who you can communicate with. That's it. That's a biggie. Feel open with. Feel vulnerable with. It's really important to learn how to communicate and feel vulnerable with someone. Alrighty. Also, Byron, if you guys have similar tastes in humor. Now, this is not a deal breaker, but I have a lot of couples who come to see me, and he or she just doesn't get the joke. They don't get the joke. And the man or the woman, they're feeling very frustrated because, they're witty and funny and outgoing personalities, and their mates, their partners, are a little more serious people. So sometimes it really helps to have similar tastes in humor. You know, it's fun to lighten up a lot, not cover up feelings, not glaze over and be shallow. I'm talking about, you know, somebody who can laugh and have a good time with. All right, it's really important. Somebody who's intellectually stimulating is also really important. Look for a partner that'll make you think. Now, I'm not talking about the nuclear physicist necessarily, unless you are prone to being interested in that. But it's a great feeling to find somebody you can talk to for hours and be involved in the same conversation. It's really fun. Whatever your interests are, it's fun to have somebody who's on the same level and can talk to you. And just like, you know, the letter I just got from the lady that was talking about the guy who wants to have sex with other people and you know, can move around a lot. Be with someone who can be committed to you only and have a similar sexual appetite. You know, if you're with somebody that has a strong sexual appetite and you're not so strong with it, lady, man, mister, this is actually Byron. So if your lady is not, you know, up to par with your sexual appetite, try to work on that. Try to get it together and talk about it. Because this is one of the leading causes that couples to have problems is sex differences, appetites. So you got to talk about it, be open, tell her what you like, ask her what she like, share, all that stuff. So what else? What are some biggies? Taking good care of yourself, or someone who may take care of themselves. Take good care of yourself, Byron, so you'll be a great partner and you'll respect yourself. And also, you know, if somebody has great health, it means that they are trying to really have a good, healthy life, and they have self-esteem as well. You see? And if you want to have kids, I don't know how old you are. Doesn't say. Doesn't know. But if you want to father children, you want to have somebody who's healthy. Yeah. She's going to be a good mate and take care of herself. Maturity is really important too, Byron. You know, you got to find somebody who is mature. You know, to your maturity level. A common complaint I get sometimes from couples is that older men have chosen, after they've divorced their wives, quite a woman who has a larger age difference, a lot younger woman, all right? And they complain to me that they don't have a lot in common because the young woman is not too mature. Well, duh, she's got to grow up. It's okay. But notice you picked someone who's quite a bit younger, and that's fun, and the sex is great, and it's cool, and it's fun to show her off, and you have a good time, and it makes you feel young, and that's great. I say go for it. But people have to mature at a normal rate. So you can't expect someone to be at your maturity level. So, Byron, that's another, you know, really good idea, good quality to look for in someone. Look for someone who's not dependent, too dependent, for somebody who has his or her own personal time. That's a really important characteristic, too. Somebody who's okay about having their personal time. Not obsessively, I need to be alone and I'm independent. No. That'll screw up the relationship. But somebody who is okay with having friends and spending time apart and has interests besides totally you. Somebody who doesn't have dependent personality disorder. And also somebody who may have a healthy sense of money. Somebody who knows, you know, how to spend. And this is another big deal breaker in most relationships, is the money thing. You know, because I mean, that's it. That's the biggie. I get this all the time from men and women, too. But a lot from men whose wives or girlfriends or fiancés go out and spend like crazy. You know, especially in this economic time, it's really not good. So I want you to think about that. All right, so there you go. Byron, I hope I answered your questions. To review again, what are some of the important qualities to look for in a partner? Somebody who's caring, someone you can communicate with. Similar tastes and humor, really good. Somebody who's just as stimulating intellectually as you are, maybe not so, but sort of can get what you're talking about. Somebody with a similar sexual appetite. Similar interests are really important. Somebody who has really good health and takes care of themselves. Somebody who's mature enough, or up to your level at least, and has a healthy sense of money. And somebody who has a healthy sense of independence. And, you know, takes enough personal time out for themselves as well. All right? How's that? Thank you so much for emailing me, Byron. I appreciate it. This is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. And you're on LATalkRadio.com. I'm about ready to get off the couch here. Actually, I'm on the chair. What am I talking about? You're on the couch. You can stay if you like. Have a great day. I thank you for listening every Friday at the same time in your time zone. Dr. Michelle is here. You can find me at drmichelletherapy.com. Learn all about what's going on. And do take care of yourself first. Have a great week. You can download this show as well on latalkradio.com. Bye-bye.